Well, we will start. So what we're going to do today is we're going to continue, but I just want to quickly, I'm sorry to repeat, just to quickly read through the Pesukim again, because it was we had a break. So we'll do, I know there's three different things in front of you, but first we'll hold up these that are the Chumashit, the one that says page 290 on top. So we'll just quickly read through the Pesukim. We won't do the Rashis again that we've done, but the Pesukim we will, to see the topic that we're discussing. Interesting that you're talking about this because it's tied in. So let's see, on page 290, this is the next mitzvah in the Parsha. Im kesev talve es ami. And the literal translation of im is usually if, and here we don't translate if, we say when. When you will lend money to my people. Es ha'ani imach. And the reason I'm reading it again is also because every word is exact, and we're going to see today in the commentaries that they will take the words, and in some of the psukim they will extract very interesting details just by the way the verse is structured, but just by the way the pasuk is written. So that's why I want to see it again. No problem, Lisa. Good morning. Okay, so he says, Es ha'ani imach, to the poor person who is with you. Loisihye loy kinoishe. You should not act towards him as a creditor. Loisisimun alav neshech. You shall not place interest upon him. In this pasuk alone, you have a few mitzvahs. You have the mitzvah of loaning money. You have the mitzvah of not acting towards the person who has borrowed the money as a creditor. And we'll see today a little bit more what that means. And the concept of not taking interest. So these are three different mitzvahs, all tied in with, obviously, with loaning money. But you can see, we did do the Rashi and we saw that the reason for the language, my nation and the poor person who is with you, was that showed us who gets precedence as far as charity. As we know nowadays, there's a lot of discussion about that with all the ethics committees. You have a limited amount of money. Where do you direct the money? And in Torah, we have very specific directions. And as we said, to the person who's related to you, family, the person in your community, and the person in your nation. So there were precedences as far as where the money should be allocated, and that is all learned from the pasuk. So we did that last time. I just want to read pasuk chaf hey, im chavoil tachbol. So we're going to page 291, and this means if you will take your and we didn't say it, if you will take as a security salmas re'echa, which is the garment of your friend. What do you do? So you're using it as a security because they owed you money. They were unable to pay back. And now they give you their garment as something to hold on to. And the Torah tells us, nevertheless, even though they still owe you money, adboi hashemesh tishivenu loy, until the sun sets, you shall have returned it to him. And remember, we said, what does that mean, until the sun sets, you shall have returned it to him? It means, as we said, as Rashi told us, you shall return it to him for the entire day until the sun sets, because this is his clothing. How's he going to go out without clothing? Only when he's sleeping, he doesn't need it. That's when you hold on to it. And then in the morning, you give it back to him. Okay? Why? And the pasuk tells us, ki hiksusa, because it is his covering, levada, his only covering. He simlosai la'ayrai, it is a garment for his skin. In other words, that's what he uses, as we might say, to keep himself covered and to keep himself warm. And then we say, bameh yishkav, how will he sleep? So this is obviously referring to pajamas, which would mean that you would hold during the day and return at night. V'hoya ki yitzak elai, and it will be that if he cries out to me, v'shamati, and I will hear, Kichanun ani, because I am compassionate. So here, this in a nutshell is the mitzvah. We've done some of it. I would like now, on your, the one single sheet I gave you today, this we didn't do last time, then we're going to go into the commentaries again, a very beautiful idea from the Rambam. I just want to show you very quickly, this is something you can take home. This is a very famous thing. Even though the mitzvah we are talking today is not specifically the mitzvah of tzedakah as such, right? It is one of the subdivisions of charity, which is loaning money. And as we said in Yiddishkeit, that's a very high priority. So let's just see in the Rambam, because the Rambam is very, very specific. I didn't make you a copy of the actual language of the Rambam. This is a translation. But these are the halachas of the Rambam, Mishneh Torah, laws of charity. It's already in chapter 10. And look what he says. So there's eight levels. The greatest level, above which there is no greater, so this is the language of the Rambam, is to support a fellow Jew by endowing him with a gift or a loan. So loan is the top, you can see. Or entering into a partnership with him, or finding employment for him in order to strengthen his hand so that he will not need to be dependent upon others. That's the top. And that's really the mitzvah we're talking about as far as loaning money. Then we go to the next level, the lesser level of charity, is when you give to the poor without knowing to whom one gives and without the recipient knowing from whom he received. For this is performing a mitzvah solely for the sake of heaven. And this is a beautiful thing in the Beis HaMikdash. There was something called the Anonymous Fund, where there was a special room. People would go in. Nobody knew if they were going to be depositing money or taking money. That was the most beautiful thing. People would just walk through, and some people gave, and some people took. And that's how it was. And that's like, whoa, like, if you want to say, everybody's dignity is intact.
No one holds what's
their No. There was trust, absolute trust, like, that people would take only if they needed and how much they needed. How much? You find it uncomfortable. Some shuls, they say matana, like a present. They don't say a number, but in what sense, what makes you uncomfortable? Because it's,
I don't know, I don't think it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Because the person that wants to give will just give it the money, go to the office, or send a check, give it to the shul.
Right.
As making already, they say they give it to the shul.
Right.
But why do they have to
stipulate the amount?
That they give?
Interesting. Most shuls do that. I must say that is an accepted thing to do. I think part of it is...
You could have given more,
but...
It was always a discussion of what people gave to the shul.
I think part of the idea is because if you announce it in public, it makes you more accountable to give it. But you do have the choice to say matana, present, so you can don't have to... disclose.
Of them saying it at the Torah but not giving.
Yeah, that's so. That's a different problem. Okay. Anyways, yeah, that's a problem, Rona.
In a small town.
Okay, let's see the third level. And as you said, but one fascinating the Rambam says, it's just interesting to see the Rambam's, these are like the halacha. So he says, so there the righteous gave in secret and the good poor profited in secret. Giving to a charity fund is similar to this mode of charity, though one should not contribute to a charity fund unless one knows that the person appointed over the fund is trustworthy and wise and a proper administrator. And he gives the example like Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan, who ran that fund in the Beis HaMikdash at that time. But third level, a lesser level of charity, is when one knows to whom one gives, but the recipient doesn't know his benefactors. That's interesting. And this is how, remember, we know all the famous stories of all the great tzaddikim who would go and drop money off and run away, you know? And so they knew who they were giving, but the person had no idea who gave them. Then this next level, if you doesn't know to whom one gives, but the poor person does know his benefactor. And this also was a very interesting thing. What the greatest sages said, they used to tie coins into their robes, throw them behind their backs, and the poor would come up and pick the coins out of their robes so that you didn't see who was taking, but the person who was taking knew where it was coming from. Okay, that's another level. A lesser level is when one gives to the poor person directly into his hand, but gives before being asked. A lesser level is when one gives to the poor person after being asked. And a lesser level is when one gives inadequately, but gives with a smile. And that's a very big thing, because a lot of times that's a very discouraging thing for us. We feel, what's the point? I'm giving so little, it's not going to make a difference. And here we see, according to the Rambam, this is definitely considered tzedakah, and it's a level of tzedakah, and it's something that a person should do, even if they know it's for sure inadequate. It's not going to buy the person very much at all. The lowest level we know is when a person gives unwillingly. Nevertheless, it's still a mitzvah of tzedakah. And that's what's important to realize. These are all levels, but they're still considered the mitzvah. And that's something very powerful in Yiddishkeit that we know with tzedakah is unique, that even for a person, as we mentioned, dropped money, had no idea that they lost the money. A poor person picks it up, buys something to eat with it, you get a mitzvah. You didn't do anything, but you did. So it's a fascinating thing. Okay, that's just that. Let's come back now. Let's look into our verses. So in the next booklet, the one that has the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4 on the pages. So we've already done the first two pages, and we were in the middle of the third page of this booklet, the one that has the Gemara in the front, and then we're on page number 3. Looks like this page number 3, and this is a copy from what we call the Sefer HaChinuch, as we said, where he goes through all the mitzvahs in the Torah and gives us the deeper explanation, the understanding, the logic a little bit, the depth of the mitzvah. So we started to read, and we said last time that the loaning of money is such a valuable mitzvah, because when you loan somebody money, a lot of times it's before the person has become destitute, and the person still has his pride intact. So it's not a person who's willing or hasn't yet had to admit that they are poor. They're not poor necessarily yet. And therefore, what's happening here is you are actually keeping their pride. You're allowing them to retain their dignity. And that's a very important value. That's why loaning is sometimes considered a higher form of help than actually giving tzedakah. Okay, so that's what the Sefer HaChinuch said. We already read that part. And then also what we hope is that if we give this loan, that will avoid him having to ask for tzedakah. So that could be such a tremendous help. Go to the third paragraph in the Hebrew, shoyresh. This is the root of the mitzvah. So what do we know about the root of the mitzvah? The root of the mitzvah is sherotza hakel liyos bruav milumadim umurgolim b'midas hachesed v'harachamim. And this is a very powerful thing. That the root of the mitzvah is, that what does Hashem want? Hashem wants all of us, his creations, that we should be educated, we should be used to, we should become accustomed to the midah, to the attribute of kindness and rachamim and compassion. Why? Ki hi midah meshubachas, because it is a very praiseworthy attribute. Umitoich hechsher gufam. And when we train ourselves, so to speak, bodily training, if we train ourselves, b'midais hatoivais, in these good attributes, yihyu reuyim lekabolas hatoiva, that makes us worthy to receive good from Hashem. It's a very beautiful idea. The whole point is that we should train ourselves to be good by giving. We literally, and what do you say, we refine ourselves. We become giving people. Then we become receptacles. We become the one that Hashem can do good to us. And we know that Hashem, as we said last time, that who gets good? Who does the good fall upon? Al hatayv, on good. Somebody who is good receives good from God, so to speak. Loi behepchay, and not the opposite. Ubehetiv Hashem latayvim, yushlam cheftzay, shechafetz lehetiv la'ilam. And through this we give Hashem the incredible pleasure of being able to give us good, because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem, who is the ultimate good, wants to give good. When we do good, we make ourselves a vessel to receive the kindness of Hashem, and that's giving Hashem the greatest pleasure, because that's what Hashem wants. All he wants is to be able to give all of his blessings. So this is, in a nutshell, that's how the Sefer HaChinuch looks at this mitzvah, which means what's fascinating here, if you think about it, is he's not concentrating on the recipient. It's not the benefit of the one who is receiving here. Here he's talking about the benefit of the one who is giving. And that's a fascinating thing, that this is where he's putting the emphasis of the reason for the mitzvah. And as we said last time, we discussed it last time with that Gemara, we won't go into it too much at length, we're going to see the other commentaries that discuss it a little bit also, is that because really Hashem could have given the poor person also, he doesn't need us. He could have given it to them directly. So why does he make this a mitzvah, and therefore in order for this to be a mitzvah, there has to be this inequality where somebody has to need a loan, only because it is for our refinement. Again, as we said, and we're going to see it, I'm sorry, it's going to be a little bit repetitious today, but it's just so beautiful. Yeah, Michelle, sit anywhere, there's the sheets. Yeah, anywhere, beautiful, good morning. So it says like this, that the idea is a very fascinating thing, that when we're talking about this mitzvah is for our benefit. It is not for the benefit of the recipient. That is something that we as Jews after, like, it's a very different way of thinking, as we said. Because anytime, forget loaning money, anytime we do somebody that we call a favor, we think of it, we are doing them a favor. Torah has such a different spin, and it's a hard thing for us to get our head around that we have to think completely the opposite way around. And we're going to see it. I'll let the Mefarshim, they'll say it themselves. So let's see a little bit more. I just want to show you, and this, the next part is really the halacha part. We'll just read a quick little thing more up from here. V'im loy mitzat shoyrish, then if not from this root, for this reason, halayhu baruchu yaspik la'ani, he would be able to supply for the poor person day machsayrezu laseinu, all that he needs without us. Ela shahaya mechazdai baruchu, it's from the kindness of Hashem, shenasinu shluchim loy lezakai seinu. And this is a very beautiful language. We become the messengers, the agents of Hashem, in order so that we should achieve merit, for our benefit. And there's another reason, and this is a little bit harsher. So here, he gives another reason, why is it that there isn't just an equal distribution, that everybody wakes up in the morning and has enough to eat, and nobody has to ask another for help. So it says, Sharatza Hakel Baruch Hu Lefarnes Ha'ani Al Yedei Bnei Adam Migoydel Chetai. Sometimes the concept of poverty, not always, and we know this is definitely not always and not a lot of times, but there is an aspect that sometimes poverty can come because of a person deserving a certain amount of suffering. In other words, a person does certain sins, a certain amount of suffering, because poverty is not a good state to be in, and to need other people is definitely not ideal. So therefore, because of his sins, Hashem does make him poor. And how does that help? So he says, "Kedei sheyuchach b'machayv b'shnei panim," so that he should suffer in two aspects. What suffering will he have? First of all, b'kabolos haboishes, because he's going to be extremely embarrassed, me asher kigiloi, that somebody just like him has to be the one to give him money. In other words, it's a human being like me, and why does he deserve more than me, so to speak? Why should I need to, so to speak, bend myself to ask him? Only because Hashem decided that's what you need. That's one thing, so it's embarrassing. And also, we know that a person who is poor, no matter what, is going to have less. So the fact that he has to do with less, that he has to make the best out of less, that's also a form of punishment, if you want to say. So that's the aspect from the poor person. But as we said, for the person who's giving, how we look at it is that it's for our merit. And as we say, Heishiv Chacham Echachamenu Lemin Echot Sheshaleh, this is what we know. Actually, I don't know if I'll read this whole thing. This we have already read in the Gemara, that he says, you know, the big question that this person asked, this person who, a min, is somebody who denies Hashem and has a lot of, how do you say it, the questions in faith. And he asked, if Hashem loves poor people, Sharei Tziva Aleihem Lama Einai Mefarnasan, right? Why doesn't he give them money? So it says, Kamei Shabbat B'Maseches Avodah Zarah, we did it in the Gemara last time. Okay, let's see now. I will continue on page 4. I'd like to go now to the second paragraph of the Mitzvah 67, where it says, Mishor Sheha Mitzvah again. Because this one is an interesting one. This one here we're talking about is that when the person, remember we've loaned the money, the date is up, he's supposed to return it, and he doesn't have it. So now we're going to come into that a little bit more about the halachas as far as how we have to treat him. So we say that we're not meant to act as a creditor, which means we shouldn't hound him. So here he says like this, what's the root of this mitzvah? Mishar sheha mitzvah, likbaya lanu midas hachesed v'hachemla. Again, but this one is actually in a way more even. Likbaya means literally to root within us, to like literally knock into us this attribute of kindness and compassion. So really to inculcate us with kindness and chemla, compassion. And when it will be rooted within us, then we will be worthy to receive good. V'yushlam again, v'yushlam chayfetz Hashem, and then we will be able to fulfill the desire of Hashem, banu with us, shechafetz Hashem, leheitiv ba'ilam azeh, Ubaba, because Hashem wants to give good both in this world and in the world to come. So it's a very beautiful way again of looking at it, that it's a fascinating thing. It's not only that we're making ourselves better people, but we're almost giving Hashem the if you want to say, the nachis and the ability to give us. So that's a beautiful way of looking at it, that we are giving Hashem the pleasure to enable him, so to speak, to supply us, and that's what he ultimately wants. And then hopefully everybody has what they need. Okay, well, let's move on. Next minute. Let's go to page number 5. Okay, so there's one more aspect to the mitzvah. As we said, the concept of not of the interest. So that's on mitzvah samaches, as we say, that you should not lend with interest. Okay, so let's see Mishor Sheha Mitzvah. This is also interesting. So the second paragraph there on page 5, Mishor Sheha Mitzvah. What's the root of this mitzvah? Ki hakel hatoiv, because the good God chafetz bi yishuv amoy asher bochar, wants the settled, if you want to say, in the settlement of the nation that he chose, which means that there should be social justice and that things should run properly. Therefore, he commands that we should remove any stumbling block. Midarkam. It's very strong language that one person shouldn't swallow the wealth of his friend or the possessions of his friend. Interest is a form of swallowing, as we say, something that somebody else has. Mibli sheyargish ba'atzmai, and the person themselves doesn't feel it. Ad sheyimtza beisai reikon mikol tov, until a point where he has nothing left. That's when they realize. We know, what do they call them? They call them sharks, I think, when you do this high interest, right? In Torah, any interest is forbidden, but that's really what it's, the idea of it, that's to stay clear, because we know that that's what's happened. If you look in societies where there are poor people, unfortunately, this is what they resort to, and what it does is, and this is the terrible thing, is that it literally puts people into a position where there's no climbing out of it, not for themselves and not for their family. And this is the Torah's view, is that in order to make sure, to ensure that society doesn't allow this to happen, that's why blanket statement, no interest. And because interest is, as we said last time, is like a snake, a little bit of poison in the heel, and before you know it, it's, you're dead. It's everywhere. Okay, as he says, ki kein darkesh, this is the way of interest. V'yadua hadavar, and it's known. Umipnei ze nikre neshech, that's right, that's why it's called neshech. Neshech is the snake, like a neshech, like a snake bite. Ubihimana min ha-maisa hazeh, and the ones who have to, so to speak, refrain from this, and this is very, very interesting. It's not only, some people are not aware, it's not only that you're not allowed to loan with interest, but you can have nothing to do with somebody, in a sense, not be party to any of the aspects of it. Let's see what he says. He gives an example like this. You cannot be an arev, a soifer, an edim, meaning you can't be the scribe. You can't be the witness. So you might say, I have nothing to do with it. I'm not the one loaning the money on the interest. You can't, even if you're, you know, excellent at writing documents, that would be, I don't know, I'm not paskening any halacha, but it could be nowadays, if you're doing the copies and the, you know, if you're the secretary and you're doing the copies, and you might not be permitted. You have to be very careful with the ramifications. This is such a strict halacha. Obviously, we know there are ways, as we said in Israel, but they have to do it halachically correctly. If you become a partner, there's all different ways of doing it, but nevertheless, on a simple level, if you have a friend and they're loaning money and somebody wants a document to be signed and they want you to be a witness, you can't be party to that. It's totally forbidden, as if you yourself are either borrowing or lending with interest. So it's quite very strong halacha. And he says, Yimna'u b'nei adam imenu, everybody will hold themselves back from it. Okay, let's go now to number 6. Page number 6, you can see, it's a copy of the Mikrais Gedolos. We do it quite often, but here we have a bunch of mefarshim, as I said, a little bit repetitious, because these are the beautiful commentaries that will, but layers, each one gives us another slightly different insight. On page number 6, they are numbered. So we'll start with the Evan Ezra. The Evan Ezra, we know, is always very beautiful, he's very straightforward, very rational and very straightforward. What does he say? In number 1, Im Kesef Talva, when you loan money. So he says, Im nosan lecha Hashem, if Hashem gives you hoin, which is wealth or any possessions, any money, shetucha lahalvais ha'ani, that enables you to lend to a poor person, v'hiskir zais ha'parsha, and we remember this parsha, ki ha'ani k'may hager v'hayosayim v'ha'almana. Why is this over here? Remember, we just discussed the halachas of the widow, of the orphan, because he says the poor person is also vulnerable, just like an orphan, just like a widow, just like a convert. A poor person also has that vulnerability. nobody will stand up for them. And that's a big problem. And therefore, we put them in that category. That's what it follows. We have to be very careful. And as he says, when do you loan money? As soon as Hashem gives you enough to enable you to loan money. That's how he says it. As soon as you see that you have a drop more than what you need, which is always a big question, how much do you need? But yes, never enough, that's the problem. But as soon as, then we have to loan. That's how he says. So that's why, im kesef talta. And just to putting in context something fascinating about the Eben Ezra himself, he was known, he lived in about the 1200s, to be extremely, extremely poor. He was not just poor, but he used to call himself like a bit of a schlamazel. He was somebody who, he actually said about, he's such a talented writer. He wrote beautiful poetry. Besides his explanation on the Chumash, obviously he learned, he was a brilliant man, but he was a man who never made it. He had to move and move and move and move, and wherever he moved, he didn't ever have parnas. And even said about himself, very cute, he used to say, he said, if I would make, he had a few lines about it, but if I would make coffins, nobody would die. You know, that's how his mazel was. So, but anyways, let's see the other ones. Okay, the Svarnu. Let's see what the Svarnu tells us. Number two. So the Svarnu says, in, you see what I underlined, im kesef talve. So if you will loan, or when you will loan money. So he says, im yehyezeh shelo yiskayem biyisrol mashenemar, we have a very fascinating contradiction of two psukim in the Chumash. One pasuk promises and says that Hashem will make guarantee a time that there will be no poverty amongst the Jewish people. Nobody will be poor. Eradicate poverty. But there is another verse that says, "Aval yiskayim bahem ki lo yechdal evyain." There will never come a time that there won't be poverty. It's interesting. It could be what it means is that as long as we are in exile, there will always be poverty, which we know is true, until the time that Mashiach comes, until the Beis HaMikdash is built, and we live with the revelation of godliness and the world is in its perfect state, there will always be poverty. But there are two verses, and according to the Svarnu, he says, when the second verse comes true, that's when we have to do this mitzvah, obviously. So when there's poverty, we must make sure that we loan money. And he says, "V'az yikresh shetalva," that's when it will happen that you will have to loan money. Let's see the Or HaChaim. Now, the Or HaChaim has a little bit of a deeper one. So if you see where I bracketed on number three on the bottom, "V'zehu oimer im kesef talva es ami," also very beautiful. You can see the change of perspective. So he says, "Peirush imra isa, shahaya lecha kesef yaisar al mashat tzarech la'atzmacha." If you see that you have money a little more than what you need for yourself, sha'ata, and it's on the top of the next column, sha'ata tilave la'ami, then you will loan it to my nation, teida lecha, so what should you be aware of? She'ein ze chelek hamagiacha, this is not a portion that is yours, that is coming to you, ela chelek acherim, really? It is a portion that belongs to somebody else. And who does it belong to? Shehu ha'oni imach, the poor person who is with you. In other words, he says to read the pasuk differently. When it says, when you will loan money to the poor person who is with you, he says, don't read it like that. Read it im kesef talve, when you will loan money, you know whose money it is? It's the poor person's money. Just happens to be a wrong deposit, wrong bank account, into yours, and you must make sure to direct it where it's meant to go. Very, as we say, a very different perspective that we have to, it's interesting, because as he says, let's say, yobazer remez, and that's, it hints, ki tzarech liftayach lai misheloi, you should open up to him what belongs, what's his. V'ulai ki remez lai, gam kein shelo yisnase v'yisgadel al ha'ani. Obviously, this is what follows directly. If we truly internalize that, you know, we say these words, but do we really honestly believe that? It's a little hard. It's a little hard. So he says, if a person will really internalize this, what will happen is that we will not feel one drop better, higher, above, We will not act in a condescending way to the person we are loaning the money. No question, as he says. As he says, V'lo yisnase v'yisgadel alani, you will not be above the poor person. Bir oisai ki hu noisein lai, when you see that you are giving him. Why? And then he says, and obviously because it's not even your money, as he says, it's just that you were given it to give, and we'll discuss that a little bit more in the Kliyakar. But let's say he says, V'u'aymre loisiye loike noisha, you should not be like a creditor. What's a creditor? And noisha, if you look at the word in Hebrew, it's like the same letters, loshen nisius umayla, not to be above him. Do not even for a second think of yourself as somebody who is the one. How do you say it? You are, truthfully, in this world, you are in the position of power. But no, that's not how you have to view it. Because really, you're only giving him what belongs to him. And then it repeats about the loan that you shouldn't put any interest. Okay, that's the continuation of the pasuk. Again, the perspective has to really shift. It's not ours. We're not giving something that belongs to us. We're giving something that belongs to the other person. But then why did Hashem give it to us? So let's see the Kliyakar. I hope you don't mind that we're going at length. Is it okay? Because it is a little bit repetitious, but it's each one with their own beautiful aspect. Do you know, before we do number four, I didn't label it, but just a side thing, because we were talking about it last time. Go to the bottom of the page. Do you see where it says, L'kote bi'urei ha-mitzvos me'ha-rambam? I want to just do a little drop from the Rambam. It's all the way on the bottom. I want to show you just some of the halachas, beautiful things. We mentioned this last time, and this is just a more sort of practical thing about the loaning money I want to do before we do the kliyaka. So he says, first of all, it's a mitzvah asay, it's a positive command. Lahalvois, l'anei Yisrael, to actually lend money to a poor person in Israel. Shenemar im kesef talva, we know that's what the pasuk tells us, that you should lend money. Yochol rishus, you might think that it's something that you can choose to do, because the word im can sometimes mean if. Like, if you choose to or you don't, you know, you have a choice. So he says, Talmud Loimar, Have Tavi Tenu. So it brings from another pasuk in Chumash Devarim, where it talks about giving tzedakah. And over there, it also mentions the loaning of money, which is a command. It's an absolute must. It's not a choice. Mitzvah zu gedoyla min hatzedakah. This mitzvah is even greater than tzedakah. Why? El ha'ani, to the poor person. Hashoyel, who is asking. V'hatayra hikpida. And the Torah is, I don't know, how do you translate hikpida? Makbid.
Precise.
It is exacting in a more, like in a harsh way. I don't know, sort of very harshly. Like it's very, yeah. Strict, that's right. Thank you, strict. Okay, so which thing? Let's see. Al mi sheyimna melahal vois la'ani. It's very harsh about somebody who holds back from loaning money to a poor person. Shenemar, and the pasuk says, v'ra'a einecha ba'achicha ha'evyoin, that your eyes are sort of looking negatively at your brother, the poor person. And you are, yes, sorry. Yeah, so I'll tell you, interesting, you know, that's a good question, because the truth is the mitzvah of tzedakah is in another place, we know in Kedoshim. Here it's the mitzvah of loaning money, which is only one of the aspects of tzedakah. And as we saw in the Rambam, I know, so you see, that's a very good question. So let's see in a minute. So the truth is, when we talk about a real loan, yeah, we are expecting it back. Obviously, if somebody's poverty-stricken and they're not going to have any weights, that's tzedakah, that's not really loaning. So you have to be careful. So I guess the concept of poor means somebody who's in a state where they have to take a loan. So in this concept, it means that he doesn't have the cash, right? Yes. So, but it is a poverty of sorts. Yes, it is a poverty of sorts. But obviously, it's not a destitute person on the street who has nothing. Then you wouldn't loan. It would be a mistake to loan. And actually, it's a good Michelle. Let's see what the Rambam says about, because a fascinating thing, because we have to be careful, you're right, with the wording even, because in Torah, when we do something like we take a loan, we are obligated to pay back the loan. And the person should expect that he's going to receive his loan back. Otherwise, you're also maybe causing somebody to do something wrong by saying, oh. So that's also an interesting thing sometimes we have with, like, if you loan somebody $1, $2, you know, sometimes the best thing in our mind is not to say I loan, like, just give it, you know, and if they give it back, fine, if not, not, because sometimes people forget, and that's not such a good thing to forget if you actually owe money. Yes, so to be very careful with that. Okay, let me just see talk about what the Rambam continues, but that's a good point. So he says like this, he goes on and he says, Asur la'adam, last time we mentioned this, Asur la'adam la'halvais ma'aisav b'loy eidim. It is forbidden for somebody to lend money without witnesses, okay? Remember we said, I wanted to see it in the Rambam. So you cannot loan money, somebody come to your house, say, come tomorrow, I'll give you $5,000, nobody else is home, nobody else sees, lend the $5,000. Not allowed. And let's see. It's not allowed because we don't want it. Why? Let's see why. He says, and look how he says, va'afilu l'talmid chacham, even to somebody that you respect. You know, you think, oh, he's for sure going to pay me back. What's the question? No. He says, Ela imkein, helveyu al hamashkein. Okay, so if he gives some type of a, what's the word? Deposit, yes, yeah, something, a collateral, something for the loan. So you have something of substance that you're holding on to, and the person wants it, and it'll come back. But the ideal is still not to do it that way. The ideal is to do it with a witness and a document. Let's see how he says. He says, V'hamalve b'shtar mishubach yoser. The best way to loan is with a document, with a legal Torah, there's a Torah way of writing it, a legal document, and that has witnesses. V'chol hamalve b'loy eidim, and somebody who loans without witnesses, oiver, he's actually transgressing. Mishum v'lifnei iver loy sitein michshal. Which mitzvah is he transgressing? The mitzvah that you don't put a stumbling block before the blind. You are literally causing somebody to transgress because nobody saw, nobody knows, easy to forget, easy to postpone, easy to, I don't know, and never pay back.
So if you give shtar, you still need a witness?
Well, usually a shtar is with the witness. That's how it makes it illegal.
With the witness.
With the witness.
Well, that yeah. Transfer, you have, like,
and so you loan.
So you loan someone money and you do that transfer your products to you.
Okay, so there's a what's the word? There's a record of it. Yeah, yeah. So it probably would, you know. So these are halachic shots. As we can see here, I don't know if you ever know if you've seen proper gemachs. You know, people who actually really loan money and do this, they do. I know one here in Sydney. He has a special document, and he has that he actually asks the person to get two other people to sign so that they will guarantee the loan. And really, in the ideal, that's the best way to do it. It is not only for the loan, not only for the sake of getting for the person who's borrowing. You see who we're worrying about. Also, it's a different perspective here. We're worrying about the person who's doing the borrowing, that we should ensure that he actually pays it back, because we don't want him to be left with owing money that he is meant to pay back, because that's a negative for him. So it's very fascinating. Again, it's not the money, it's the transaction itself, it's the whole interaction, and it's the whole way we view the relationships. And that's an amazing thing. Yes, Lisa?
So for example, to a good gift, and we do it on behalf of somebody else, we should always have in mind that it's not a loan.
Yeah, best way. Probably the
so
best way.
Yeah,
100%, at least 100%. Yeah, yeah. It's the ideal if we could. So yeah, 100%. If we want to give a loan, if we want to do something, and that we should do it properly. That's as we can see. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, let's see quickly. We'll just, because I know it takes so long. I thought I'd finish early today with my things, but we'll get there. No, it's always a lot. Okay, so he says, and then the Rambam continues, and he says, oh, somebody, that's right, so like putting a stumbling block. Then he says, V'goy, and look, oh my gosh, and the strong language of the Rambam, V'goyrem klala la'atzmai, and he causes a curse to himself. So this person who's doing that loaning is making a very big mistake if he's not doing it properly. Asur l'loive likach halva. Now, he says another fascinating thing. Now, from the aspect of the one who is borrowing. It is forbidden to borrow money, likach halva, to take a loan, ulahaitzia, and to spend it, shelloi litzoyrech, if it's not necessary, like something that he doesn't really need, ula avda, and to lose it. So in other words, you spend it out and you don't have any more. At shelo yimtze bal chayv me'ayin yigba, until he finds himself to be a person who owes money and he doesn't have a way of paying back. He doesn't have a way of raising the money. That's, in other words, if you are not responsible with the money, sometimes things happen. We're not talking. But if you're not responsible, if you didn't act in a responsible way, and especially if you bought things or spent it on things that were not necessary, it's actually an extremely negative thing. And he says, Shenemar loyve rosha, V'lo yishalim. As he, sorry, I'm sorry, I missed the line. Afal pi, oh, listen to this. This is also such a powerful thing. Even though the one you're borrowing the money from, Osher Godol v'oisezeh, he is very wealthy. That's also an attitude sometimes. Oh, he doesn't need the money. He's not going to miss it. What's the difference? Makes no difference at all. No, it has nothing to do with that. Again, the responsibility each one of us on our own self. So you borrow money, you're responsible to pay back. Don't spend it irresponsibly, as he says. And not only that, but he calls very strong language, he says. And somebody who acts this way, he's a Rasha, is actually considered a wicked person. Shenemra loiva Rasha v'lo yishalim, that a wicked person borrows and doesn't pay back. That your friend's money should be as dear to you as your own. That's how you treat. So you see from both sides. Now, the truth is that these halachas are more, and we're not going into them today, because part of the reason that people hesitate sometimes from loaning money is because they're afraid they won't get it back, as we know. And if people are acting irresponsibly and they don't give back, that can become a very big issue. So we see that in Torah we have both sides. There's the obligation to loan, but there's also the obligation to pay back. And as we saw at the beginning of the parsha, this was the fascinating thing. Do you remember the first mitzvah was the eved, right? The slave, the Jewish slave. How do you have a Jewish slave? What's the most common way? If somebody didn't have money to pay back. So you see that Torah does put into place different guarantees, if you want to say, almost no guarantee ever, but different things that it should happen, that you should get paid back. Hopefully. Not always. We know that. And again, as we say, the attitude, this is the most beautiful thing, is the one who's borrowing, I'm responsible to pay back. The one who's loaning, Hashem will take care of it. And let's see. We're going to see now. It's not a matter of the person. And this is a very interesting, it's again, such a different perspective. And that comes into the next part of the mitzvah. Not to be, the word we use was creditor, which means not to hound the person who owes you the money. As we said last time, you can't even, like, you should cross the street if you see somebody who owes you money. You should not go pass by his house. You should not make yourself visible to him, just so that he shouldn't, every time he sees you, he thinks, oh, I have to pay back. Oh, you know, start heart palpitations. Do not make the person uncomfortable if they owe you money. Very interesting, different. Okay, so let's see now. Let's see the Kliok, how he says. I'm sorry, it's a bit long. Let's see what we'll do today. Okay, so that's a different thing, Michelle. Yeah, that's a different thing. But again, you have to. And then you didn't. Yes, 100%. You are. But again, you have to know that that's the case. Yes, so you're right. You're right. It's a, okay, so let's see the Kliyakar. So number four. What?
We are very forgetful generation.
We are. It's terrible. Yes. Okay. So number four. We're still on page six. Still on the same page. We're doing now the Kliyakar in the middle. So the Kliyakar is a bit long, as I said, but let's see again his aspect. So starting from the beginning. Nira Kanta. Now he's going to discuss all the different exact technicalities of the language, and we're going to see some beautiful lessons from the way the pasuk writes it. So he says, "Nira kan kefel." It seems like a double language because it says, "Ki hayalai leimar im kesef talve es haani." The pasuk should have said, "When you loan money to the poor person." Umitchila karu ami, but it doesn't say that. It says, when you loan money to my nation, right? V'achar kach ani, and afterwards it says to the poor person. So that's an extra word, to my nation. V'achar kach re'acha, and afterwards it says to your friend, so to speak, to your fellow. She'amar im chabal tachbal salmas re'acha, right? If you will take as a security the clothing of your friend, right? It uses the word re'acha. Instead of the poor, it doesn't say ani. It's interesting. Ela lefisha rata litzavaisa al shnei dvarim. The reason is because it's really commanding us about two different things. Al kein hiktim loy shnei hakdamas. That's why it prefaces, it begins with two introductions. She mishnei hatzdadim atachayav lelaveis loy. From these two different aspects, that's what obligates you to loan him money. What are the two aspects? Ha'echad, the first thing. Mitzad shehu b'chlal ame ha'aretz. V'derech ha'melech hu. And a very fascinating thing. Since he is amongst the nation of the land, so he's amongst your nation, What does that have to do with anything? Why should that obligate you or convince you to loan him money? So he says the way of the king is bizman sha'amay va'avodav mechusarim. A good king is somebody who actually worries for the welfare of the people who live in his country. So if he has servants, or if he has people of his nation, right, people who are citizens of his nation, and they are missing tzedah, they are missing supplies, kol adam yochol lavais lahem, any person can loan them, I'll smach and rely, shehamelech yipare es chayvai, that the king will pay back the loan, because the king takes upon himself the responsibility. A good king, a good leader, is responsible for his nation, for his people. So if somebody doesn't have, and the king lives far away and is not aware, you can loan them money, and in the back of your mind you think, I don't have to worry if the poor person can't pay me back. The king will pay me back, because I am doing an act as an agent for the king. I am ensuring that all the members of his country have what they need, which is what he wants. So I don't worry. I give the money. I don't have to worry. If I don't get from the person, I'll get from the king. This is the first aspect that Kliokar says, a very beautiful thing. As he says, Ki al ha-melech mutal lazon esave, because it's upon the king, he's obligated and he wants to supply all of the needs of the people. V'ha-naisein lahem kilu naisein la-melech. Somebody who gives one of the members of the country is as if he's giving directly to the king. Atzmai. V'alkein hu batuach. Therefore he trusts b'pira'in ha-chayiv that the loan will be paid back. Kach ha'ani zebetaych ami. The same thing. This poor person is living amongst my nation who yeshev. V'al Hashem hu mashlich yahavai. And he, the poor person, is throwing his burden upon Hashem. And we know, Omal v'Hashem chaynein dal, and somebody who loans to a poor person, what happens? Hashem is compassionate, and Hashem pays back. Why? Ki ha-chaynein dal, hu malve l'Hashem. Somebody who has compassion upon a poor person is really loaning to Hashem, and not v'loy loy, and not to the poor person. A whole different way of looking at it. So that already takes us a little bit, how do you say it, out of a just me and him. This makes us part of a whole nation where we have a God who's worrying about each and every one of us, and therefore we feel that what we are doing is actually acting, as we said a little bit in before, also similar as an agent, if you want to say, of Hashem, to ensure that society runs the way it should. It's a very beautiful thing, but together with that, as Kliokar says, with the actual trust, total reliance, that there's no question that Hashem will pay me back. So again here, who are you loaning the money to? Not the poor person, Hashem. Very interesting. A whole different way of looking at it. Okay, the next one. Let's see the next one. Hasheni, what's the other aspect? Sheyaiser, this is a very beautiful one. This is also tzedakah, but Sheyaiser ani aise imach mimasha ata aise imay. The famous line that you, the poor person, is doing much more for you than you are doing for him. As we know, it says in the Gemara, Baba Basra, Tanya Haya Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir used to say this, Umasik Shom, Imalekechem, the famous thing we read in the Gemara, Imalekechem, Chafetz Baniyim, if Hashem wants, likes poor people, Lama Einay Mefarnasan, so why doesn't he supply them with their needs? Afata Emer Loi, Kedei Lihinotzel Anu Midina Shel Gehenim. So we answer him, yeah, the reason Hashem makes poor people is sometimes because we need the merit and we need to be saved from the future punishment. So Hashem allows us to do a kindness which adds up our merits. So the poor person is suffering to enable us to do a mitzvah. Again, a different perspective. We don't believe that anybody suffers on account of us, but what we're saying is from our perspective, we look at the poor person as giving us the biggest gift possible, that he enables us to refine ourselves, to be a better person. So that's like, now instead of him being indebted to us, who's indebted to who? We're indebted to him. It's a whole different thing, a whole different way of looking at it, as we say. So then the Kliokar continues, V'im keinata isa imay chaye shah, beautiful language. Then what you're doing for him is only temporary life. You're giving him food, physical food. V'hu isa imach chaye olam, and he is giving you eternal life, spiritual benefit. Ata noisin lay pruta, you give him a penny. Vakadosh baruch hu mishalim lecha pishnayim kiflayim, and Hashem will give you back double and quadruple, you know, a lot of doubles. L'kach nemar asher asisi ima hayayim bayas, right? That's why in the story of Ruth, you know, with Ruth also, we didn't get to that, but it says that Boaz said, you know, that Boaz actually was thankful to Ruth that she's allowing him to give the money, you know, to give her what she needed to eat, and he felt indebted. V'amar Razal, Yoiser ani Yoisem Abal Abayis, the famous line that the poor person does more for the master of the home, Mimasha Abal Abayis Yoisem ani, more than the poor person. Than the master does for the poor person. Lekach ne'emar kan es ha'ani imach. That's why the pasuk writes it like that. The poor person with you. V'yichlal loshen amech. Imach. And it uses that language with you. Lefishu imach al kein bali day oini kidei lezakaischa. Why does he not have money? Because he lives near you, and you need the schus. If you weren't near him, Hashem would find a different way to give him the money. Maybe it would even be a nicer way. I don't know. We don't know. Obviously, again, as we say, this person, obviously, as we said, each person have their own cheshbon. You know, God has his own accounting. But the bottom line is, he's my neighbor. He needs money. Why is he my neighbor? Because I'm the one that has to give him the money. That's how it works. So if I come into contact with him, if I happen to pass him on the street, if he happens to ask me, it's because I needed that today. And that's a very powerful way of looking at it, a very magnificent way. Let's see a little bit more. I want to see if, let's go to the next side. So as we can see here, this is the whole, the point of the Kli Yakar, as we say, is that how you look at the poor person is that he's doing you the biggest favor, because he's giving you the opportunity to do a tremendous mitzvah, the opportunity to refine yourself. Just wanted to see. And also he says, that's also why you don't take interest, because what interest nach you want, he says. The bottom line is, the person's giving you such a tremendous merit and you want to take even more from him? How dare you? So like, he's like, who would even think that you can take even more when he's giving you such a benefit already? So very, again, a very beautiful way of looking at it. And then I want to show you to go to the next column. I didn't bracket, but it's still number 4. So on the second column of the Kli Yakar, you see where it says, Val Tzad HaRemez? It's the bottom paragraph of the Kli Yakar, Val Tzad HaRemez. So in a hinting way, another aspect to this whole thing, Hizkir HaShemesh, remember we said when the sun goes down, right? That's when you have to return the clothes. So he says, why does he mention the sun? Because this is a very important thing. Loimar, to tell us, histakel bashemesh, look at the sun, shebarasi, that I created, l'shim shechem, to be a sun for you, right? To shine on you. Why? Al tzad ha-chesed v'hatzdaka. Hashem makes the sun shine. Today it's not shining, but he's giving us the rain. And it's a kindness of Hashem. It's an absolute total, and the word he uses, chesed and tzedakah. Did we do something for it? We did something yesterday to get the sun to shine today? We complain, huh? That's it. Nothing. Zero, as we say. Every single day Hashem renews the creation of the world. And every mitzvah that we do in this world, the ones who fear God, it's nothing to this kind. Although, so we think, oh, we do so many good things. We, you know, well, he says, if we think, what are we talking about? Who are we fooling? All the good, no matter how much good, if we would fill 24/7 with goodness and kindness, we still wouldn't be merit what we have, just life, just the fact that we can breathe, that we wake up in the morning, and never mind that the sun is shining. And this is an absolute kindness that Hashem is constantly doing for us. That's why they use that word. So what should we focus on? Very beautiful way of looking at it. Let's see, he says, so therefore, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazriach lehem HaShemesh b'chol yom, that Hashem shines the sun all day. K'may she'nemar, v'zarcha lachem yirei shmi, shemesh tzedakah, right? That Hashem shines the shemesh of tzedakah, the son of tzedakah, upon those who fear him. Ki afilu liyirei Hashem, because even those who fear God, Hashem is zayrach as outside that tzedakah. It's still a kindness of Hashem, an absolute tzedakah. V'im kein yafa amar Shlomo. That's why Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles, v'ein yisrein tachas Hashemesh. Right? There's no benefit under the sun. He said it about many things, but what here he's saying is, whatever we do, there's no benefit to God. He's doing us an unconditional, if you want to say, a free kindness, a free gift, by shining the sun upon us. There's never enough in all of our actions, heishiv, to give back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chesed Gadol Chazeh, this kindness. That's why it says, until the sun comes, you should return it to him. Ki tistakel b'shemesh tzedakah. So you should look at the sun, and the sun of kind of you know, the gift that Hashem gives. Sha'ani oyse imach, that I do for you. Va'az tikach musar, and then you will take a lesson. Umimeni tire v'chein taseh. You will see how Hashem behaves, and that's how you will act. K'shem sha'ani mazriach l'cha achama, just like I shine the sun upon you. Kachata tazriach la'ani zeh, beautiful language. So to you shall shine to the poor person. Ha'hoylech chashakim, the poor person who's walking in the darkness. Ve'ein noig alay, and there's no light, because we know poverty is a state of darkness. K'maisha nemer ha'lay freis l'ra'av lachmech, right, that you should give, break bread, so to speak, to the poor, to the ones who are hungry. And then your light will break out like the sun. As he says, and that's a very beautiful concept. Again, why the language is used, even though it really just means that the day is over, you have to give him back what to wear, or the night, or whichever way. But the idea is, again, what we concentrate is, we are the biggest recipients of the most incredible kindness of Hashem constantly. And we'll see next week, we don't have time today, that in truth, it's also a form of loan. Some is kindness, but Hashem also loans us. Every day, He loans us our energy. He gives us, but we're supposed to do something with it. We'll see next week in Ritz Hashem.